Cameron Esposito, the host of Wham Bam Pow. This is a movie show, a podcast focused on action and sci-fi films, and we are so glad that you are with us. Just an early apology up top. We've been a little bit sporadic lately with our taping, and I just want to let you guys know that we've had some personal stuff going on in our little lives that we happen to have outside of this show when we occasionally leave the studio. And so it doesn't mean you're not important to us, and we continue to thank you for listening. Also, great news, if you live in San Francisco, be sure to wear some flowers in your hair. And also, November 2nd, Rhea Butcher and I, a panelist on this show and great comic, we will be at the Independent in San Francisco, November 2nd. Rhea and I will also be in Denver at Comedy Works, the one that's in Larimer Square. That'll be on November 5th. We'll be in New York on November 7th, I'll be there for part of the New York Comedy Festival, and I'll be at the Bell House. And then on November 14th and 15th, we'll be in San Diego at some place I can't remember, but if you just check CameronEsposito.com, all the information is there.
Is it at the American Comedy?
No, it's not actually at the American Comedy thing. So go there and support them other times, but on the 14th and 15th, go wherever we are. And you can find out more information at CameronEsposito.com/shows. We love meeting you, and I want to thank you guys so much that have already come out to the Same Sex Symbol tour to come and support the album, see me and Rhea. I know Ricky also loves when you come to see him, and we're going to check in on your recent travels as well in just a moment. I'm looking you in the eyes. But if you haven't bought Same Sex Symbol, which is my new album, stand-up album, it is available on iTunes, and that's where I would love for you to buy it. Go on iTunes, leave a review, buy an album. It was a huge, huge success. We're doing great. The album is moving. We're changing minds. Please keep it rolling. And we will be back with news, reviews, things you can use right after this. Hello. Welcome back. And let's enjoy our panelists by welcoming them. I'm going to start with you, Ricky Carmona, the Afro spokesman. How you doing today, Ricky?
What it do, girl? What it do, Rhea? What it do, people?
You were out of town.
I was out of town.
Where were you at?
Where was I at? Where did I go?
I feel like you went... Did you go all up and down the West Coast? Is that this tour where you, like, started... Did you go to Portland?
I did. I'm going out of... Well, I'm not going out of town, but I'm doing another run of shows with the same group of people. I'm going to...
They're like Tosh Writers?
They're Tosh Writers, yes. We're going to the Laugh Factory in Long Beach... Going
all
to,
the way down to sunny Long Beach.
Long Beach, tic-tac, grab your gat, watch your back. Do not bring your gats, please.
No, you can't bring them in.
You're going to have to leave them.
They always say, no flash photography.
That's right. No gats. No gats. Yeah, I see what you did there. Then I'm going to, we'll be in San Diego at the American Comedy Company.
Oh, yeah.
We were just there. We will be there again, and then we will be at the Comedy Palace as well. I don't have the dates in my head. It will all be happening in November.
How could people find out?
You can find out on Ricky Carmona. I have a Tumblr page. Go to rickycarmona.tumblr.com.
Oh, great. And there's shows on there.
I have all that information there. But everything has been great outside of that. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, good to see you.
Thanks. Thank you. Thank you very much. This has nothing to do with movies or comedy, but I'm very happy. I was just telling Lindsay on the elevator. I'm growing my mustache out right now. And she said, and Lizzie said, oh, that's a great mustache.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, it's for Halloween. I'm only doing it for Halloween. But I've been getting these pictures... my brother has found a box of pictures of my dad and, like, us as, like, little children.
Sure.
And I told him, like, hey, I don't have any pictures of us here. I just have, like, whatever I see online.
Right.
And he sends me these pictures, like, just, like, randomly. I'll get, like, pictures in the middle of the night or, like, the middle of the day. And he sent me this one of, like, my dad as, like, this, like, you know, early 30-something-year-old dude with, like, this thick-ass mustache.
You got the same one?
Same one! I'm like, that's
what's
up.
What are you going to be for Halloween that requires a... Such a stash.
I don't want to say.
How could they find out more? Follow Ricky Carmona at
Tumblr.com. That's right. Follow me on Instagram. All the pictures will be on Instagram.
This is devastating.
Are you going to be a caterpillar?
Site-specific caterpillar? Mouth caterpillar?
Here's the clue. I will be having a mustache, obviously, and I will have nunchucks.
Oh, so you're going to be nunchuck founder guy.
What was the second word after nunchuck? What was that?
It was supposed to be fighter, but I think it said farter.
That's what it sounded
like. And I stand
like.
By that.
I'm going to be a nunchuck fighter. I would be okay with being a nunchuck fighter.
Before, not even for Halloween. I was just in my bathroom.
They're going to sound like farts when I'm...
Yeah, they are. Yeah. Yep. Rhea, hello.
Hello.
The Lady James Dean, Miss Rhea Butcher, back in action.
That is
How's
me.
Your throat doing? Because you're pretty sick as well.
Yeah.
Under the weather. You sound pretty good.
I feel like my voice sounds awesome right now. I do wish I could keep this all the time. I'm actually feeling pretty great right now.
So you like the old Rasparuni?
I like the Rasparuni.
Old Rasputin?
Old Rasputin.
Can't kill him. Throw him in the lake.
Old Rasparuni.
I believe it was a river.
The real San Francisco treat. I do actually have a question for Ricky.
Yes.
Because I was thinking about this. A lot of people are talking about Hunter Pence this World Series season.
Okay.
Who are you familiar with this gentleman?
I am not familiar with Hunter Pence.
He plays the Giants.
Okay.
And I have not been watching. A big baseball fan that I am because I'm too superstitious.
Oh.
So the game seven
You're
is happening right now.
You're too superstitious to watch the baseball game?
Yes.
I didn't realize that's why we weren't watching.
Well, I rooted for the Dodgers openly on Twitter, and then they lost.
Yeah.
They were way
so
ahead.
Not even watching the
and
games.
And then a fan
you
of the show.
You think if you watch the games, what will happen? Sorry, I'm sorry.
The team that I want to win will lose.
That's and you're not even going to say what it is.
No, I'm not.
Okay, great.
That's a very baseball thing. I do the same thing.
I
once there's something happens, I got to stick to that.
Yes, I said go Dodgers, beat St. Louis into submission or revolution, because I hate St. You know. Anyway, and then they lost. They were winning by like 3 runs or something, and then they lost. And a fan of our show, I think her name is Christina, who's also a baseball fan, big Yankees fan, tweeted like, clearly Rhea Butcher's terrible bad luck. And I was like, absolutely, I'm never saying anything again.
Wow.
So anyway, back to my original question, which is that people, including Hunter Pence himself, are referring to his haircut as an afro.
Yes.
Now, he is a white person,
yes,
as far as I know.
Okay.
Do you think it is okay for white people to say they have afros or fros in any way? Or should they have to use what I think is a more acceptable term of poof?
Well, speaking on behalf of everyone who has an afro with a legal authority.
And brown people everywhere.
And brown people everywhere. I don't care if he says he has an afro. I mean, does it look like a dope-ass afro?
No, it looks like a white guy's poof.
Okay. Well, to give a valid answer, I would need to see a picture of this Hunter Pence.
Well, at the break, we'll clear this up.
Sure.
Pull up a photograph.
There you go.
Really get into it.
Yes.
Since this is relevant to our show.
Yes. Bob Ross, 100%. The artist, he had solid afro for a white man.
Okay, well, yes.
Solid afro.
It's curly. He has curly hair.
He's got the kinks.
This guy doesn't have curly hair?
His hair's not curly. It's just kind of...
Wait,
there.
I don't understand what you're talking about now. We're gonna go to the tape.
We're gonna go to the tape.
But first, we do that, I just want to get through a couple news points in our movie news section because it is extra long today because there has been many movie newses. And also, the movie that we're reviewing for today's show is Galaxy Quest.
Yay!
That is on Netflix Watch Instinct.
Yay!
And they like it. I like it too. So I want to just, in the movie news section, I kind of want to just go through some of the next movies that are coming up. Because there's a lot of films that are like right on the horizon, and we haven't even talked about them. So I felt like today's movie news section should be sort of be dedicated to the releases that we're looking at coming up soon. And of course, on this show, looking at next week being November, you know we're going to start with Interstellar. That comes out on November 5th. That's a Christopher Nolan picture. Of course, he did that movie where the one thing happens inside of the other thing.
Mm.
And then that other thing, Batman's like,
no way.
And then that other thing happens. The Batman comes up. He goes rising in the dark. He comes down. That's Christopher Nolan. But this is in space. Matthew McConaughey's in it. And my favorite, Anne Hathaway. Are you guys going to see this movie? We're probably going to see it for the show.
Hell yeah.
You excited about it? What do you think?
70mm IMAX, yeah.
Wait, so what the hell is that even? Because I kind of looked at that.
Big.
It's going to be very big.
So it just means a giant movie?
It's going to feel like Gravity did.
Which was that on 70mm?
I don't know if Gravity was on 70mm, but it was on IMAX. So, I mean, it's obviously like a larger size. So, I mean, there's 35mm, and then is there another size after that? And then 70?
I think it's 35 to 70.
Okay, so it's 70.
Wait,
it's
are
just
we
like...
talking about the size of the print of the film?
Yes, so it's going to give you like a wider, not a wider aspect ratio, but like just like a wider scope all across. So like you think of like those westerns like back in the day, it's like cinemascope.
So it's just stuff that's outside of the frame of a normal movie?
Yes.
Yeah.
Great, guys. Thanks for explaining.
Sure.
I figured it out on my own.
And for
so somebody
we'll
like see all those
Nolan,
boom guys in Interstellar.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
sorry.
They don't, they don't cover that up with CGI.
If it's usually 35 millimeter, you're telling me that it is two times that size?
Yes.
Yes.
So now, that's crazy.
I could be wrong on this, but I feel like this is correct.
Well, that sounds like a really big movie.
Yeah. The Master. Physically. Did you see The Master in theaters? The Master was in 70 millimeters.
I did see it, but I only remember, I don't know.
35 millimeters?
Yeah, I only remember 30 to 32 millimeters of it.
Familiar with between 27 and...
McConaughey looks a little off to me in the trailers for this movie. I'm curious to see if he can like pull it off because... Now, I didn't see True Detective because I can't watch scary things.
Uh-huh.
But I heard that he was very good in that. And I also think he's like, I'm not trying to comment on his looks. I'm saying I think he's aging kind of strangely where because he was like, he looked the same age for like 20 years.
Yeah.
Like from Dazed and Confused till like a year ago, he looked the same age to me. And in the trailers to this movie, he looks like very different. I don't know if he got different work done or if he just lost a bunch of weight recently after Dallas Buyers Club.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Like if that changed his bod, but it almost like his face looks different to me. And I'm just curious to see like what that looks like because it's a much more serious role also. Like, I feel like he's transformed physically and then also in his roles in like the last year.
Absolutely.
If you were to just go from like Matthew McConaughey up until last year, you would have thought of a totally different person.
For sure. Do you think he looks, because you said he looks off, do you think he looks off like he looks like he's going to give a bad performance or it looks off like, oh, you're miscast?
He just doesn't look like himself so much, which I know, you know, I mean, also, to stay in the game, you got to do a lot of work to keep yourself there. He's mm-hmm. just getting to an age where, like, your body changes a little bit, and he's so thin, you know, you have to stay so thin to stay in movies, and he's just looking, like, a little bit... He looks suddenly old to me. I think that's what I'm saying.
That could
it
be
happened
it as well.
Really suddenly for me because he was, like... I think when you lose a lot of weight like that, your age can kind of catch up to you. Anyway, I'm just curious if that he's going to look like a protector of the universe or if he's going to just look kind of like a little bit of an old guy to me.
the shot, there's a famous shot in the trailer where he's like driving away in the truck and he's got like tears
in his
eyes.
He's like crying.
Yeah, I always think like, oh yeah, what's going on with him right there? That looks kind of weird.
Yeah, it does. It looks odd and like faked.
So yeah, something just looks not. Off.
You understand what I'm saying, right?
I do know
you
exactly
guys kind of, and I'm
I
not, again,
no,
this isn't like a Renee Zellweger, I'm trying to hold him over the fire on, you know, like, what have you done and why? What's wrong with the face that I used to know?
It just is noticeable.
It's just a true thing.
Yeah. Did you see True Detective?
Yes, I watched the whole thing.
I feel like there's one era in True Detective where he looks like the Matthew McConaughey.
Yes.
Of like,
that's what
Matthew
I was trying to tell Cameron. I was like, there are points where he looks right on.
Exactly.
And then other points where you're like, that doesn't seem right.
There's points where I'm like, I think you were filming Dallas Buyers Club this weekend.
Yes. Yeah.
And then there's points where I'm like, that's amazing makeup that you have.
Right. Sure. Well, you know? I mean, I really do think that the dramatic weight loss that is required for some roles, and then also just the amount of like body fat ratio that's just required for people to stay in movies, you know, your bod doesn't always like hold up without any fat to keep it going. You
and
know?
You so, think like, about like
sometimes
the
that
age,
can really back up on you.
The age that he was doing Dallas Buyers Club is much higher than the age of other actors that have gone through these crazy transformations, like Christian Bale from The Machinist to Batman was, I think, considerably younger than Matthew mm-hmm. McConaughey was when he did it, or like Matt Damon when he did
The Informant.
Not The Informant, but when he lost a bunch of weight to be like AIDS.
Courage Under Fire?
Yes, thank you. And then like, you know, just went, but he was like deathly skinny, but he was also like in his early 30s. So I think also that had a longer effect on him because he was in his 40s when he did that. Mm-hmm. I cannot imagine. I couldn't imagine doing that now, let alone when I'm 40, and I'm even more cranky than right now.
And I mean, I do think as long as we're on this conversation, which I didn't even anticipate we were going to have, but I do think that, you know, that Renee Zellweger photograph that went out there where people were saying that she didn't look like herself and it was this big scandal, everybody thinks that they should have an opinion on what somebody else's face should look like. And I just think that we really demand so much of people that are in movies. We just expect that they are going to look great, and then we tell them when they don't look great, and then we also expect them to not try to change themselves to look better for us. And also we say that they're too fat, and then when they lose weight, we're like pretty upset when that affects the way that their face looks, because it does. Your body fat affects your whole thing. So anyway, I think, I'm just curious to see like if he can bounce back from the change in his bod that happened with Dallas Buyers Club, and then if he's going to look like superhumanish or if he's going to still look kind of off to me.
Yeah.
I have big hopes for this movie in that I hope that it's finally a movie where Christopher Nolan isn't saying like how terrible women are.
Sure.
Like,
also,
I
want him to calm
like a,
down. I don't really love that guy. He's not
my favorite. I know. I hope that it actually is a movie that is attempting to grasp what they're talking about in the trailer, if that makes any sense.
Yes.
I hope that the movie is actually what they're putting forth
in
the trailer.
So wait, can I ask you a question? You mean like what you wished for Prometheus?
Yes,
when you
I
went
hope
to Prometheus
is...
and you were like, yeah, and then you were like, no.
Sure. I hope it's like existential and trying to solve humanity's crises and all that. Like, and father-daughter relationship. Like, I hope that's what it's about, and it's not about like how everyone has done him wrong and that he needs to fix his own life or whatever.
Well, what did you think he was terrible to women in? What movie?
Like Inception.
Uh-huh.
Also, Memento.
I'm going to wrap this conversation up because we've got so many other things to get through, including Big Hero 6, which comes out on November 7th. Have you guys seen a trailer for this?
I keep that one. Like
I have.
I haven't, but when something shows up, I'm like, God damn, I want to see that movie.
Yeah.
And then I completely forget about it, and then something else shows up.
So,
like,
and I don't want to spoil anything, but that the like main guy, the Big Hero 6 guy that you've seen pictures of and stuff, the little, looks like a Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, like the white guy. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm, yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So that, and I hope this isn't, but that's that guy's, I mean, this is given away by the trailer. He's robotics.
Spoiler!
That's what he is. He's not a human?
Jesus!
I just mean, like, you look at that, you're like, is this some other universe? Is that, like, an alien dude?
Yeah. Okay.
No, robot.
He's a robot, okay.
And
if it's in the trailer, I don't mind.
It's completely in the trailer.
Cool.
Like, it is the point of the trailer is to say, this guy's a robot. That's the whole trailer.
How have I missed that trailer?
No, that's the whole thing. And our friend T.J. Miller is in it, which is great to hear his voice. You hear his voice in the trailer. But I'm curious to see this movie because, again, and this is even revealed in the trailer. You know, it's a relationship between a human being and a robot in the way that we've been talking about in this show. You know, like her being that movie and Transcendence. Is that what that movie was called?
Yes.
And Transcendence being like now we've gotten to the point where we're like not. Where we're scared that we're gonna like love robots too much, like we're like less like robots are gonna kill us. Then we're like, what if we love them? You know, like it's that thing now. So I think this is kind of Disney's way of tackling that issue.
Hmm.
It's like the first animated. I mean, I guess Iron Giant kind of did that, but it's
and we had My Pal too. So
sure, I just mean like
we've been down this road.
That is now such a pervasive thought that Disney is on that train trying
I also
to be like how
say,
are we
like,
gonna talk to robots
yeah.
Can't we just have the robots already? I'm tired of the movies. Let's cut to the chase.
You just want big white robot.
I just want a big white puffy robot.
Yeah,
you want to hang out with. Yes,
that's
it. Looks cool though
already. That's had no that is completely not what I thought the movie was about. I thought the movie was like Big Hero 6. It's a team of six heroes and they're gonna go do stuff.
That might be part of it because there's an ensemble cast.
Okay,
but I don't want to reveal anything more. That I mean, just the trailer is like the point of the trailer is like this guy's a robot. He has a human. Can they be friends? You know,
okay.
Like that's kind of what you're seeing in the trailer. And when I watched it, I was like, oh, there it is. They're finally, you know, figuring it out.
I do.
It's like from Blade Runner to this. Finally, Disney's like, what about if they're around?
We have ideas. Yeah.
I do think that they're going to have a hard time marketing that thing. Because he's interesting looking, but he's not cute enough.
Oh, do you not think so?
I don't think so.
I'll tell you why.
I'm going to put my money on that.
I think they're going to have a hard time marketing it because it's not an animal.
Yeah, that's
and
what I mean. It's very confusing.
It's not a princess. So, like, they're, you know, Pixar.
And it doesn't look like WALL-E. You know, like, WALL-E has, like, eyeballs.
Well, that also
hands,
came out at a time when we were like, what's going to happen next? You know, like, part of the movie WALL-E is just to push the boundaries of what we thought we could do in animation. And then this isn't that anymore. This isn't like, can we make a robot that looks like a robot is walking around? Like, no, we already did that, so we're not as shocked. I actually agree with you, Rhea and Ricky, that I think that the promotion for this has fallen under the radar for the size film that it should be because it's Disney. So, agreed on all counts.
I do want to see it, though.
I want to see it, too.
I'm looking forward to that one. But, like, I mean, I'm pretty sure tomorrow I'll be like, what? Yeah, Big Hero 6, that's right.
Another thing that's coming out is Mockingjay, the first one, I believe. And it's interesting because it's the same person that did Catching Fire, which is the last, whatever the heck they're called,
Hunger Games
movies. And the guy who directed it, before he was doing the Hunger Games movies, he was a video. He was a music video director. His name is Francis Lawrence.
A music what?
Music video?
What
like
is that?
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, it's...
That's how you pronounce that
You know those things on Vivo on YouTube?
Oh, I don't
know. He does those.
Oh, okay. That's weird.
But he did stuff for J-Lo and Lady Gaga, and then after that, he directed I Am Legend. My point is, people have interesting paths, and sometimes that's interesting to
find
out
about. Well, that's what David Fincher
did. Yeah, so yeah.
Sure, yeah. And
just throwing that out there.
I know tons of people do. I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying.
Spike Jones.
It's always interesting. And also, Jennifer Lawrence... in this movie right now, I think, has a potential to be enormous. I think this is a potential to be an enormous release. It's a Thanksgiving release, and she is... Do you think we are sick of her yet?
Not yet.
Like, do you think this is gonna be it, and then we're done?
I don't know, because...
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Ricky.
No, I was just going to say, actually, I wanted to say this about McConaughey. I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens next. Like I think everybody's still like, oh, with this Interstellar McConaughey.
Sure.
Same thing with these these Hunger Games movies. Like, after this one, Jennifer Lawrence, now what?
I do think, however, that the Hunger Games movies keep her at a particular level because she's doing like her, American Hustles and whatnot. And then people are like, oh, my God, her boobs or whatever. But then she has to go back and keep doing Hunger Games. So it kind of keeps her honest in a way. Because she's going back and doing, like, young adult movies. I know that adults are seeing these movies, but
sure.
Primarily it is still, it's PG-13 probably, right? So it's still a kid's movie. So she's still having to go back to that well.
She's also doing something that very few women have been able to do, which is simultaneously keep it going as an action star and also, like, an indie darling. And I know she's in big movies, but American Hustle is a big movie that's a small movie. You know what I mean? It's a huge indie movie. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like it has mass appeal because we say it has mass appeal, like, just because of the cast and stuff like that.
It's what indie movies are now.
Yes, exactly. Right. It's not like
Clerks.
Right, it's
but
not
it's
like
what
Clerks.
Clerks made.
It's, yes, it's not Clerks, but I just mean it's not Captain America. It's a interesting drama and all that stuff, and it's also really quirky. I just think that is a really difficult. So she's in this. She's an action star in the X-Men movies, and then she's also at the same time, you know, committed to making some dramas and side projects where she really is showing her like acting chops. So that I can't think of another person who's been doing that as well. I'm interested to see what Anne Hathaway does in Interstellar. I know she was Catwoman, but she hasn't really like had both things going at the same time. Can you guys think of somebody else?
The only person I can think of is a guy. And
no, that's the chick thing is I think what makes it so different.
Oh, okay.
It's Scarlett Johansson.
Scarlett Johansson is a great example. Yep. She's probably the only other one. Yep. Yes. Yeah, Scarlett Johansson is perfectly on it. Yeah. Yes, I think you're right.
And that's also like such like a current thing now. These like franchise decisions where like you sign on for 1, 2, 4 movies.
Right.
As opposed to, I'm just going to dip my toe in this and see what this is like.
Right.
So I think now we're going to start to see, I think like this wave of Scarlett Johansson and Jennifer Lawrence, they're the ones who are like, hey, we can do these movies. Who's the old girl from Divergent? You know, they're already making another one. And she's got the star, I don't know what it's called, but it had the long title with the stars in it.
Yes,
Stars
in the Fault in Our Eyes are there.
I think these are the things that we're going to start seeing happening. I mean, Chris Evans.
So then my question is, do you think that now women have to do that? I mean, I'm thinking about like Linda Hamilton, really, like she was in T2 and then everybody was like, see ya. And then she was like in Beauty and the Beast for a little while.
Yeah.
But I feel like now hot stars are being pulled in so many different directions because these superhero movies and these action movies are such huge box office gets that you can't really turn it down, right? And that makes you marketable. You're like, yeah, I can star in a movie with this huge of a release or whatever. Now I'm worth it for your indie movie. But it's a lot to put on one person to be all those things.
I think that's the nature of what the business is now. Like before you had the luxury of being like, nah, no thanks. But now there's so many superhero movies that if you'd be a crazy person to say no to like, hey, you're going to be Captain Marvel.
But
nah,
like
no
Meryl
thanks.
Streep.
Really?
She did not have to do this.
She didn't have to, totally.
I mean, I would say that it seems like most most movie stars right now are following the career path of Tom Cruise. Where, you know, like,
yeah, that's the template.
Like, Tom Cruise was just like, no, you guys, you can do it. And then so everybody was like, well, I guess that's what we're doing.
Yeah. I could see, those are two girls right there who I could see doing it. Emily Blunt, because she was just in a Tom Cruise movie, and the and Emma Stone.
Oh, yeah.
I could see both of them being like, we're going to do these movies and make our paper, and then we're going to do these movies and get our, like, street cred.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, we shall see. Hey, we'll be back with a little bit more news right after this.
I listen to Bullseye to be cooler and more cultured than the people who don't know about Bullseye yet. Of course, then I tell them about Bullseye, so it doesn't usually work for very long.
Bullseye's your guide to what's good from MaximumFun.org and NPR.
And we are back with some laughing. We laughed a little.
I was just doing my classic Valley Girl.
What a huge week it has been for Marvel. I mean, not really. Every week is a huge week for Marvel. Who gives a shit? Like, honestly. I mean for them. Like, they're just probably like, same Marvel, different day. I mean,
just printing money over here. Talk to you later.
But of course, what I'm talking about is they announced their full schedule through 2019, which honestly, like, how do you feel about that? How do you guys feel about that?
I am not happy with it. It just feels like so much overkill.
We also already know that they're camping out on these weekends. You know, like, in the industry, other film houses, you know, other competing franchises are not going to launch on those weekends because they know when these movies are coming out. So it's weird to me that anybody would think that it would be a good idea to announce things 5 years in advance.
For sure.
Like, because I just think about it. Let's just take this and make it teeny tiny. When I'm doing stand-up, I don't announce what I'm doing, like, in May. I try to promote what I'm doing now, like, this weekend. Because that just makes more sense to me. I'm just really curious as to whether this is going to backfire on them.
It backfired?
Like, are they going to make all these movies?
Yes.
I don't know. It backfired on Sony with the Spider-Man movies. They're like, hey, after Spider-Man 2, with a Sinister Six movies coming out, and then six movies after that, and then nobody went and saw Spider-Man 2, and they're like, we're talking about it.
Yeah.
It's like, how much money? You guys don't just assume that, A, the movies you make are going to be that quality. Who knows what's going to happen to, like, your stars, your screenwriters, and also that we're just going to be there to, like, give you our money and keep it going.
But the problem is everybody loves Marvel's movies. They do really well. That's the difference between Marvel and all the Spider-Man stuff. Like, nobody gave a shit about Spider-Man.
That is
but people
100%
continually
correct.
Give a shit about Marvel branded universe.
I just don't get it.
I don't get it.
And
I know
they
I
just
do as
did
well.
It. So they just got it.
That.
They just figured it out. And they did it the right way.
Well, apparently, because Age of Ultron, the next Avengers movie, is coming out on May 1st. And wait, is this the second one?
Yes.
God, I could. You know what? I wish this one was negative one. I wish when I went to see this one, I had unseen the first one. That would make
me
really
happy. Hates that
I
one. Can't
I hate the movie
that.
Avengers.
Wow.
It's so stupid.
Wow.
Ant-Man is coming out in July of 2015. Captain America. Civil War is coming out in 2016. Also in 2016, Doctor Strange. Rumors Benedict Cumberbatch is going to be strange and around. Guardians of the Galaxy 2. That's going to come out in 2017. And as an aside, Rhea and I walked past Chris Pratt getting his picture taken with a fan.
Ooh.
He is with Anna Faris. That's his wife.
And
we
I am
like,
taller
hey.
Than him.
What?
No. No, you were not. He was tall.
All right.
You didn't even see
short.
Him. You were so focused on Anna Faris. You were like, and I said, did you see who else she was with? And you were like, no.
I do yell all the time. Because
your eyes were bleeding with joy.
Yeah.
Thor Ragnarok. Is this the third Thor?
I feel like John Hodgman is going to be upset about this.
I know. Sorry about that, John. So everything is a trilogy now? Every one of their movies is a trilogy?
They're like.
Minimum.
Minimum. Exactly. Minimum.
That's insane.
Yeah.
They could make as many of these movies as they want. They have the power.
That is so stupid, though, to me. Like, just interlocking movies forever?
Yeah.
What are we doing?
I mean, why not? Honestly.
Why not?
Let's see. Let me ask you this question.
Because life,
hang on a minute.
Life ends, and that's the only reason it has meaning.
Hang on a minute. Let me ask you this question. What are the most talked about and successful action movies of all time?
Are you going to say that they're all many movies? Yes.
No. What I'm saying is Star Wars.
Star Wars. Yes.
How many of those are there?
A lot of them.
How many are there going to be?
But how many do people not want? People want there to be three. There's six. People are unsure whether or not seven's going to be a good idea.
I just mean they might as well. They have all the material.
No, don't say that.
I don't think that you're right about that.
Rhea.
Rhea.
There's got to be.
Your favorite.
I have to dissent here.
Your favorite series of films. Would you want to see another Back to the Future?
If Bob Gale and Robert Zemeckis were on board, I would see it. If they were making it.
Well, I mean, I hate to say this, but obviously Michael J. Fox probably not going to be able to be in it.
Not saying he has to be in it.
So
I'm only talking about
okay.
the creators of the thing because
so
they
I
would know what to
you're
do
okay
with the fourth one.
With your universe changing that much.
Yes, because that is the essential nature of that film series. So they can do whatever they want with it.
I just don't know.
Am I saying they should? No. But
you love that movie. You love those movies because they're perfect and they end and they. You love the cycle of them. What if somebody took a left turn? And they were going 44 miles an hour.
Now I don't know what we're even talking about.
I'm just
we're
saying
talking
that
about movies that none of us have like our hearts in, really.
What?
I
you
mean,
love the movie Back to the Future.
No,
I'm
talking
asking.
About the Marvel
yeah.
universe. That well, it's like, I mean, let them be crazy if
okay,
they want to be crazy,
I mean,
is what I'm saying.
Sure.
I mean, legally,
for the
they're
sheer
allowed to, for
fact
sure.
that they have cast a lead black superhero in a movie.
No.
I will put up with
no,
all this other
not
no,
until
shit.
2017 no. when Black
that's
Panther
not,
comes
that's
out.
That's not a get-out-of-jail-free card.
Also,
it's not a get-out-of-jail-free card.
Avengers no. Infinity War Part 1 comes out in 2018. Captain Marvel, and that is, of course, female Captain Marvel, 2018. So we have to see fucking 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 more movies before we get a lead female superhero. 7. And there's already been like 100. Furious about it. I don't even know what Inhumans is. Do you guys know what that is?
Nope.
I bet they're
no,
mean.
No, I looked at it today and I already forgot.
And then Avengers Infinity War Part 2. Oh, I... You know what? That's what this whole thing feels like. A war with infinity.
Right,
I'm furious.
Sorry, you guys.
I just...
Don't be sorry. It's all right. It's okay.
But Chadwick Boseman, you guys. He's actually playing someone other than a historical figure.
I'll also add this. If they were just like, you know what? We're going to go through our whole catalog. We're going to do like a bunch of different stuff. We're going to mix it up, make it interesting. But I just can't believe they're going to continue to make movies where they interlock and it's just the same superheroes in all the movies.
Do you guys realize how many kids there are on this planet?
For sure. But I mean, even as a kid, I wasn't getting like nonstop comic
Tony
book.
Tony Stark is in like
all of the... I was still getting a variety of movies.
Yeah. Also, like Indiana Jones is not in the Terminator. There's no part in the Terminator where John Connor travels to the 1940s to meet Indiana Jones.
Okay.
Because not all movies need to intersect with each other.
Okay.
It's stupid. I hate it. Furious.
You know what other movies intersect with each other and people are pretty happy about it?
What, the Jensens and the Flintstones? Yeah, that was pretty decent.
It's good. But actually what I was trying to say is the Star Trek franchises, they interlock with each other and it makes sense and people find it pretty satisfying.
Yeah, but
I'm
it's
okay
one
that.
Thing.
Okay.
See?
Yeah, but it's one universe.
It's a thing. It's one
but
thing.
But so I is mean, the Marvel universe. It's all one thing.
No.
I can't believe I'm the one arguing for
you. You know what I think? Maybe my problem is just that Patrick Stewart is not in any of these movies.
That would solve a lot of problems.
What I don't want to happen is with these Spider-Man movies. I mean, I keep using them as an example, but you just gave me 3 Spider-Man movies. I don't need you to start over with Spider-Man again. I just don't need that. And I have a feeling if these movies don't do as well, well, then we'll just start over again. No, you can just be creative, you company that believes in creativity, and come up with new ideas. Tell your screenwriters, think of something new. Put it on paper, and let's film that. Don't just think because it's something that I've seen before that it's like, oh, yep, here's my $14. It's okay, man. My brain likes to think.
It just
likes challenges.
To me,
so give me that.
To me, it just feels like we're making movies out of cameos now. It's like if Alfred Hitchcock's movies were only Alfred Hitchcock in profile.
Hey, did you like Birds? I directed Birds again. Here's Birds again. Did you like Psycho? Here's Psycho again.
I appreciate you having a dissenting opinion so that it's not just the three of us screaming.
I'm glad that everybody on
Twitter will be back right after this with a review of Galaxy Quest.
The Muppet Show, World War II. The song I Knew You Were Waiting For Me by Aretha Franklin and George Michael. So many great things have come from the collaboration between the U.S. and the U.K. But never let us forget that at the heart of it all, our two nations are deadly rivals. Join me, Dave Holmes, for International Waters, a transatlantic panel game that pits comedians in London and comedians in Los Angeles against each other. It's like the Revolutionary War, but with, like, way more jokes about One Direction and cinema. Find it in iTunes or at MaximumFun.org.
Welcome back, and I'm Cameron Esposito, and this is Ricky, and this is Rhea, and we're all going to talk to you about Galaxy Quest, because that's what we're reviewing this week, and you can find it on Netflix Watch Instant, and you should watch it, because I liked it. And it's directed by this guy who's called Dean Parasote, and I don't know who that is. He didn't do too much else. And it stars Tim Allen and Sigourney Weaver and Alan Rickman and Tony Shalhoub and Sam Rockwell and Daryl Mitchell and Missy Pyle and Justin Long. And here's what's interesting to me about this movie. The ensemble cast, it's like all people who've gone on. I mean, obviously Sigourney Weaver and Tim Allen had done some amazing things before they made this movie, but they like bet on some outside. They bet on the right horse, and it went all the way. Justin Long being an interesting one. This is his first movie. Now he's a walrus.
Oh, God. Sorry.
Hey, are we going to maybe have spoilers for this
movie? There's
going to
be spoilers. Thank you, Rhea.
You're welcome.
And Tony Shalhoub is in this before he's even Monk.
Come on now.
But he was Wings before.
I know he was Wings. Thank you so much. Sam Rockwell wasn't really...
I mean, he wasn't really
churning it. I guess what I mean is when you get an ensemble cast in a movie, it's rare that people individually, that many people end up being the kind of people that lead movies
right.
in the future.
Yep. Sure.
So, cool. Okay, what is the plot? The stars of a long-canceled space adventure show that's kind of like Star Trek are mistaken for real space adventures and they're recruited to save a foreign planet. I wrote that myself. I think it's very good.
It's very good.
Can I point out very early on that I think that even simply the premise of this film is satisfying?
Absolutely.
Just to think about a fake, an entity like a space adventure team being mistaken for a real thing and then having to actually do it is like, oh my God, that's the greatest idea I've ever heard. And like, I don't even have to see the movie.
It almost seems that idea is too so easy. And I don't mean that in like a, I just mean, I can't believe, has that been done before?
No.
It just feels like it's so easy.
Yeah.
I mean, I think somebody being mistaken for something they play on television or in movies has happened. Somebody.
Let's be cops.
But never has the whole thing of like, oh, you are on a ship. Because we can get into this more later, but like that they build a physical thing based on the way they move on the TV show.
Well, one thing that's very interesting is that they really cover their butts, I think, in a nice way on this movie, too, because it actually does make sense. Their scenario for how this happened is that, you know, the show is beamed out into space and these aliens receive it as if thinking that it's historical documentation. And that is silly, and it's
hilarious.
A great premise for humor. And it also isn't too weird to be believable. Like, there's not a lot of holes in it. Like, it makes sense.
It's absolutely. I think that's, like, one of the, without jumping far ahead to, like, Best and whatnot, but that's, like, one of the big strengths in the movie is that the theremins are so invested in, like, the reality of it that it's, like, you almost have to believe along with them. Like, oh, yeah, sure, they are. They've watched these people, so they believe that they're going to come along and save them. So why wouldn't they? They're not crazy. That's just the reality that they live in. You know, it's such like a good hook
and
to get audiences on board.
I think something that really is particularly brilliant about that, Ricky, and also Rhea, kind of what you were talking about, is that the idea that, you know, they looked at how the ship was depicted, how the movements were depicted, the steering mechanism and the engine and things like that,
and the aliens reverse engineered a ship that could fly based on what that looked like. And that actually also makes sense in a weird way, because if you think about geniuses, like if these aliens are supposed to be capable of anything, then it wouldn't be super wild that they could make something that didn't work work. I mean, that's like what the Earth is, basically, right? You know, it's just...
Well, that's what we've been trying to figure out. Like, we don't understand what hieroglyphs are. We don't know how the pyramids were made, but we're still trying to figure it out.
Well, I guess like I also mean, thing. Like, if you lose your leg, then we reverse engineer something that we think is similar to a leg, and then you walk on that. You know what I mean?
And like, we've been doing that for years. Peg legs. Come on.
But I mean, you know, like, I think it does actually make sense.
And it is, like, the most, as a Star Trek fan myself, it is so, the whole movie is just fan service, but it's disguised in an actual science fiction plot. Oh, it's just, oh God, it's really good.
It works on like really so many layers.
So many
like,
layers. Yeah.
So many layers.
Immediately.
Yeah.
There's also,
when you went inside, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, there's also a really satisfying, Justin Long's part that he plays is also really satisfying
here.
Because he is a nerd who understands the like schematics and blueprints of the ship. So when Tim Allen is actually on the ship and he needs to figure out how to get to a particular part of the ship to shut something down or start something up, I can't remember, he has to call this kid, and this kid actually does have the blueprints, knows how the ship is set up because he's watched, you know,
because he's the same as the alien.
Yes, exactly. But also because somebody, you know, watched the whole series and figured out how it all would have been put together, even though it's on a soundstage. And that also is believable, right? Like, people do really do that, you know? People really do say, like, no, this hallway would connect to this hallway because that's how it would, you know.
In episode 10, yeah. It's really good.
When he's meeting, when they're at the convention in the beginning, and he's, like, trying to get, like, Tim Allen's autograph, and Tim Allen says something to him, and he just has this laugh, like, don't crush my reality, man. That is, like, so goddamn funny. Oh, it kills me.
Well, let's just go right to best and worst. Rio, what is the worst part of this movie?
The worst part of this movie?
Yeah.
So you want me to tell you what the worst part is? I actually don't think there is one.
Great all around?
I could say, like, oh, the special effects are pretty bad. They're not great. They don't really hold up necessarily. The rock monster looks pretty good.
Do you think they don't hold up? I thought it looks pretty good.
The practical, that weird like hog thing that he's fighting, I forget what it's called.
Oh yeah.
that thing looks pretty bad.
It looks a little dinosaurs.
Yes.
The television show dinosaurs.
But and also the villain dude, his face doesn't totally line up with what he's saying and stuff. So I guess if I had to say something,
he looks a little Power Rangers.
They're a little bit flopsy. Looks like somebody's like five fingers are behind them doing them. But
well, it's definitely foam core.
Yeah, foam core.
They definitely are made of foam core. All right, I think that's a decent point.
Yeah.
Ricky, what about you?
I don't think there's a bad thing in this movie. The things that you mentioned, I think those are some of my favorite things outside of maybe the weird little dinosaur monster that he fights.
Well, let's get to best parts.
Tight.
I'm going to tell you my worst part.
Tight.
My worst part is just, I wish there were just a few more gals in the alien race, because there's Missy Pyle's part actually was, she was like given a ton more to do, because after they cast and created the whole movie, they realized that they had like
one other woman
in it. So they were like, well, we'll just give her a bunch. So I just think, you know.
And she doesn't really get to talk at first.
But I love her in this movie.
I mean, it's hilarious that they're like,
and
her
she's
translator's
a great part.
Work.
And I also like that everybody kind of looks the same. Like, I'm not really that. I just think, you know, there could be, like, if there's one female alien, why wouldn't there be 10 female aliens? Like, that kind of thing. Sometimes in movies, I think we only think of tokenism. You know, people only think of tokenism. There's the black guy, so then there's not...
But
there wouldn't
the
be three black... I understand.
Sure.
I'm not... Yeah. The black guy thing is not actually... It actually works.
The whole thing is on purpose.
The device.
Yeah.
I understand. I'm saying, in terms of the alien race, there's one woman.
Sure.
There's like 100 male aliens and one woman. Just saying. You know. hey, I mean, female actors need work. So yeah. Can you just cast a couple female actors in wigs instead of Rainn Wilson?
Whoa,
who,
easy
by the
there.
Way, is in this.
Yeah.
This is like his first movie.
Yeah.
He's great. I mean, in the movie, he's great.
Sure.
But I'm just saying, just like, you know, pop some other people in there.
Spread it around.
Yeah. Got it.
Rhea, what's the best part?
It is incredibly hard to whittle it down to one thing because I really do actually love this movie. So I'm actually just going to say the feeling that I get when I watch this movie. Mm. Because I watched it a couple of times. I watched it for the show, and then I watched it when I was back home with my family, who are very big Star Trek fans, as I am as well. And I was just sitting there realizing, like, how much... I mean, I feel like anybody could watch this movie and enjoy it without any sort of historical context of Star Trek whatsoever. But being a fan of the show, it is so rewarding to watch it. It's almost like getting to be friends with Star Trek actors, you know? Like, and I just love the world that they build, like, that. It, immediately, you were just like, oh, I get it. I understand.
Hey, can I ask you a follow-up question?
Sure.
Just because what you just said about the Marvel Universe now is clicking into my mind as being as brilliant as it was. How many, like, Star Trek movies are there?
Like 20.
How many different casts and scenarios?
It depends. I mean, it...
And how many movies? Actually got a theatrical
release? It's not 20 movies, but
how
it's
many
like,
got a theatrical release? 50. All of them?
All of the films, yes, have been in the theater. They've not done any...
Deep Space Nine, no Voyager, just the main Star Trek. Star Trek, the original series, Star Trek, the Next Generation.
Yeah, and now
and
they,
new
they
Star
all
Trek.
Were theatrically released?
Correct.
Yes.
I don't remember any of the past... ones.
Well, there's Star Trek
like
the Motion Picture, there's Star Trek 2, Wrath of Khan, Star Trek 3, Search for Spock, Star Trek 4,
Voyage
The Voyage Home, Star Trek
5, The Undiscovered Country.
Thank you.
Star Trek 6 is...
Into Next Generation at that point?
No, Star Trek 6 is...
So Next Generation... I'm so sorry.
No,
let me
okay.
just ask another clarifying question.
Yeah.
So like the first five, we're talking about original cast from
original
the television
cast.
Show?
Correct.
Yep. It doesn't get Next Generation until 7, I think.
Okay.
And then for Next Generation movies, it's the same cast from the Next Generation television show?
That's correct.
And including some original cast members.
There are not Deep Space Nine movies?
There are not Deep Space Nine movies.
Well, that sucks, because 7 of 9 is amazing.
that's
a really
Voyager?
Deep pull. I don't know what I'm talking about. So there aren't Voyager?
There's no Voyager ones, no.
So that's, okay, got it. Just trying to understand. Sorry about
and
that.
And no Enterprise
didn't
either,
mean
just
to...
in case.
No Enterprise!
There's
Star Trek
that many...
Enterprise is,
that television
is another
show?
Television show, yeah. Yes. It's a prequel.
How many television shows have there been?
Well,
five,
Star
Trek,
Next Generation, Voyager.
Deep Space Nine.
Deep Space Nine, sorry, that was out of order. And Enterprise, so
Enterprise five.
You know what? I take back what I said earlier. We need to stop making Star Trek.
No!
We can make all the Marvels
easy.
We want. This is
easy.
Too many Star Treks. How far have they trekked at this point?
Well,
they just started trekking all over again.
Where'd they go?
They haven't gone anywhere yet.
I can't believe I'm blanking on the tagline. I keep trying to do it.
To
and
go
it's not
where they ever go. I think that's
to go
what
boldly
it
when no man has gone before. Where
there
no one
go.
Has gone before now.
Yeah.
Man.
All right. Star Trek is the best. I just have to say because they changed it to where no one has gone before. And yeah. I remember watching that and being like, yeah! And being so excited about it. How badass is that? They were like, oh yeah, that's a problem. We'll change it.
Well,
that's pretty great.
Rhea,
anyway, back to this movie
this is great.
That I love.
Ricky, what is your best part?
To add on to what Rhea said, ditto to all that. And also, I mean, it's just such a funny movie. It's a good action
it's very
movie.
Funny.
It's a good sci-fi movie. It's, and I don't mean this in any like disrespect or challenge,
no.
But just in all the times that you say, Back to the Future has such a tight script. I mean, the script in this is like...
Thinking
like,
the same thing.
Yeah, like, not to get too far ahead to what movie we're going... Can I say what movie we're going to review next?
Sure, yes.
Okay, well, we're going to review Birdman next. And in Birdman, this great thing happens where these jokes are happening when actors are playing a certain role. And then if you watch the movie, you're like, oh, shit, there's another joke happening because in that role, they're still playing another role. And so there's just like these different layers of like comedy going on all at the same time. And the same
meta.
Thing is happening.
Yeah.
It is meta. Yes, I hate that word. Oh. But
I
yes,
understand.
It is meta. And that's just like so fun to watch because you, then you start looking at how other characters are reacting to it and what, you know, just different jokes are coming out of that.
And there's a scene, and I don't mean to interrupt you, Ricky,
no,
but
no,
I feel like we can just go back and forth
Please
on this.
Do. Please do.
I think
do.
The moment where this movie just goes like, yes, you love the, you're going to love the rest of this, is when they go to the convention, and then they go home, and you see Alan Rickman and Sigourney Weaver talking to each other on the phone.
Oh, sure, yeah, absolutely.
And,
yeah.
And it's like people that went to college together.
Yeah.
Like they have spent their entire lives together.
They're
like a new family, and they
absolutely.
Like hate each other, but they also
absolutely.
Love each other.
Yeah.
And he still has his thing
He's
on.
Got his
he
thing.
Never takes it off for the entire movie.
I know, it's great.
It's great. That scene of them talking on the phone where she's like, I know, he just does this every time.
It's hilarious.
Like, and you're just in. You're
yeah.
just in with them, and you immediately understand what's going
on. And another thing that made me just laugh out loud, and then I will stop, is when they're being introduced in the beginning at the convention, and Sigourney Weaver comes out, and she does, like, the karate pose and, like, the karate kick. I fucking rewound that, like, three times.
She's so
just
good.
Laugh, because she's so goddamn funny in it.
I have one job, and I am going to do it.
God damn it.
Well, I do read from
you guys really love this show. I mean, this movie.
It's really great. It's really, like...
Like, let's watch it again tonight.
All right, we'll watch it again.
I honestly will watch it again.
I thought it was great. I don't know that I have more to add than what you guys... You just really talked about the whole movie. And you know what else is a final thing I'll say? It's also sweet. There's
yes.
like a sweet part to it.
It's kind. They mm-hmm. like love each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also like there's like a climactic moment that's actually there's like a few climactic moments where Mathazar dies, and then also when they like bust back into the convention, and both of those are like actually really sweet.
Yeah.
I love when they bust back into the convention and Kevin McDonald is like so confused. and when Sam Rockwell comes out, he's like, another crew member. He like doesn't know who he is. It's so great. A fellow crew member.
That moment what you were saying is sweet when they're when he makes like the bad guy makes Tim Allen explain what lying is to him, to the theremin, to Malthazar, and he makes that like sound like, oh shit, I know what lying is, and you can just tell he's like crushed. It's like
that guy also made up his
Jesus
voice.
Jesus Christ.
The actor who plays Mathazar just like came in and made up his voice, was like, I think this is the voice, and they were like, yes. So that's why they all talk like that. Like they
that's
all
great.
Talk really weird yeah. for that reason.
Also,
he just made it up.
Because you're throwing out trivia, did you know that the NTE part of their ship is not the Enterprise?
Yes, Rhea,
oh, really?
I did know that because you wrote it on my notes.
I did not
yeah,
know
I
that.
Wrote it in your
because you
notes.
Wanted to make sure I knew.
And also, Sigourney Weaver clearly says an F-bomb in this movie, but they had to change it because they wanted a PG-13 rating.
I did hear about that.
So look out for that.
So she's like, Frank! Anyway, yeah. All right. Rhea, on a scale of 1 to 5 Sigourney lovers,
yeah.
how many do we give this one?
10.
And Ricky, on a scale of 1 to 5 hammers belonging to Grabthar, how many of those do you give this?
Infinity! All
and
of them!
And beyond.
And I am giving Galaxy Quest, yeah, I'm gonna give it 5. Justin Long is a max.
Oh, because it's plural.
Yeah.
I got confused. I thought you meant M-A-X.
No.
Sorry.
No, M-A-C.
Justin Long is an IMAX.
70 millimeters.
Boom.
Long dick.
Ew.
He has a 70 millimeter long dick.
Gross.
Wow, excuse
That's
me.
Not very long.
Isn't it?
70 millimeters? Not very long. It's
so.
Smaller than a centimeter.
I mean, when you look at it on film, like film-wise, yes. Yeah. In real, no.
If you're going to project it, yeah, it'll be pretty big.
I'm going to go home and measure out 70 millimeter, take
it's
a picture
be about
and all.
This big.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That actually seems right.
Yeah, well, that's not fair. Anyway.
All right. Rhea, what are we leaving the fine people with?
Well, I've had a particularly rough part of my life recently. I unfortunately lost my grandmother, who was very close to me. So just a shout out to my grandma, because she was very cool. I miss her very much, and I want her to be immortalized on this podcast forever, because she wouldn't know what the hell I was talking about if
that's
she
not
knew.
True. She's a huge Star Trek fan, so she wouldn't know what a podcast
was. She was not
was.
A Star Trek fan.
She was not?
No, she just put up with it.
Well, she liked baseball.
She loved baseball.
And yes. You talked
and
about
she
baseball
loved the movie The Quiet Man. She liked that movie a lot and liked Columbo, so that's pretty close. And
to Star Trek?
Yeah. William Shatner was on a lot of episodes of that. So, yeah, it's close.
Okay.
It's also a mystery, and most Star Trek episodes are just mysteries. Anyway, moving on.
So you're saying Columbo is just another Star Trek
Basically,
television
it's
series?
Another Star Trek franchise. Star Trek Columbo. So, I miss you, Grandma. You're great. You're still great. And my one recommendation is that I've seen recently a movie that I think is one of the best movies I've ever seen. I can't believe I'm saying that, but I think it's true. Obvious Child was really amazing. And I think it's going to change cinema, and it might take a while, but I think that it's going to hopefully usher in. It's going to be part of, like, Within a World and Frances Ha and stuff. Realistic movies about women and things that happen with women. So yay to Obvious Child, and see it if you haven't seen it, because it's really good. And I feel like men and women would really like it because it's a universal story.
Yes.
So see it. I loved it. It was great.
Awesome. Ricky, what about you?
Shout out to your grandma as well.
Thank
shout
you, Ricky.
Shout out to Rhea's grandma. I never met the woman, but everything I heard from Rhea and the pictures you posted and what you wrote about her sounds
Thank you.
Like a beautiful, glorious woman.
Thanks,
so shout
Ricky.
Out to her. I'd like to leave the people with, I just saw the, they released, HBO announces like on Friday or something that, hey, we have this James Brown documentary that's coming out and we're going to put it out on Monday.
What?
And it, yeah. And it's called Mr. Dynamite, The Rise of James Brown. And it was directed by Alex Gibney, who right now, because yeah. I'm thinking so much James Brown in my head, I don't know what other documentaries he has done, but he is known as a very well-known and good documentarian. After watching this movie, it's so goddamn great.
He did
great.
Fahrenheit 9/11, right? Supersize Me?
No.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I see what you're doing there. It is really
Fog
great.
Of War.
It focuses specifically on James Brown, James Brown's music career, from obviously from when he started up until like the early 70s. So it really talks like about like his hits and just like the changes that he made. And it talks to his band, and you get like stories from his band where when James was alive, everything was pretty much like out of James' mouth. So it's great to like hear how they came up with certain songs, where certain songs came from. They talk about, I mean, as much as I love James Brown, I still always am not sure about where, hitting it on the one is. So you get to see them actually play it in front of you. And it's just such like a great documentary. Mick Jagger's in it. Questlove is in it. Pee Wee Ellis up in that bitch. Bootsy Collins is in it. Maceo shows up. Ah, it's so great. It's the James Brown movie that I have been waiting for. Up until now. I'm hoping as well that they make another great one, but I mean, this one is like, that's what I wanted. Thank you very much.
I love to hear that you are so happy. That made me happy that it's the James Brown movie you've been waiting
I mean, it
for.
Just,
that makes me,
when
my
they
little
get
heart
something
sings.
Right, you just like, something you love. I mean, you just go, thank you.
Yeah,
you know, thank
sure.
you. That's what I wanted.
Thank you for being a friend, the
yeah,
guy who made this movie. I want to send a shout out to, I've been rereading a series of comics, the compendium of Alison Bechdel's Dykes to Watch Out For, which is her long-running strip. And also Alison Bechdel just won a MacArthur Genius Grant because she is a genius. And I agree with that. If you guys don't know her, she is a graphic novelist. She's a cartoonist and she is amazing. She wrote an amazing book called Fun Home. And if you have a chance ever to pick it up, I would really recommend it. It won a ton of awards. It was a New York Times bestseller. But it's also, it's a story of a woman coming out, and it's also a story of her relationship with her father. It's really beautiful. Anybody could access it. It's not super closed off or weird. It's just a great way of getting to know what other people are struggling with, and she's super talented. So what's up, Allison? She's also the reason that we have the Bechdel test, which of course is a test for whether or not a movie is a good movie. And you test that by seeing if two women in the movie ever have a conversation that isn't about a man. She made that up because she is a genius.
And I use it so often, it comes up in my auto type on my phone. Whenever I put the word, the letter B down.
That's hilarious, because your last name is Butcher.
Yeah.
So it feels like
nope,
there'd be
Bechdel
like...
No, Bechdel comes up before my own last name.
Well, next week we will be watching, as Ricky said, we will be watching Birdman. That's in theaters right now, and it does not have a wide release, so there's a chance you might not have a chance to see it by then. That's okay. Please tune in anyway. It's a great movie to just talk about, and whenever you see it, you'll see it. So it's not really a spoilery movie. Until then, I'm Cameron Esposito.
I'm Ricky Carmona.
I'm Rhea Butcher.
And you've been listening to Wham Bam Pow. Wham Bam Pow is recorded at Maximum Fun headquarters by Lindsay Pavlos. Thank you, Lindsay, and Maximum Fun. And thank you for listening.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.